Welcome to today's South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations conference call. Participation in this call is by express invitation of SDAHO only. Unauthorized participants and or any party that aids and abets such unauthorized participants may be subject to criminal and civil penalties under both state and federal law. Please disconnect from the call if SDAHO did not expressly invite your participation. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you all for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Duke.
Thank you, operator, and thanks to everyone for taking time today. Well, first we'll do a little federal update, little, meaning there's big news coming out of Washington, of course, with the release of some more information and legislation around the proposed repeal, replace, and repair of the ACA. Then Deborah, of course, and team have been working now as we're winding down the 92nd session of the South Dakota State Legislature, and there's some good updates that she'll share, and then we'll come back for some question and answer session. So out of D.C., a little bit around the calendar first. So Congress is in session now through Friday, April 7th. As we've said in the past, they'll take about a two-week break, April 10th, the week of the 10th. And the 17th for the Easter holiday, and then they would be back in for the last week of the month of April. And just as a reminder, the continuing resolution to fund the government runs out in April, and so that would need to be put into the mix of what we're going to spend our time federally talking today, and that's the ACA repeal, replace, and repair proposed legislation. So generally, we've been sharing with you from a leaked draft that came out a couple weeks ago that most of the provisions that we've shared previously are a part of what was released late yesterday and today, and we're still reviewing all of that, and we'll be sharing additional information later today and tomorrow in a written memo update. But here's what we know kind of today, and I'll just say high level. So this legislation is due and scheduled to be reviewed and what they called marked up in the Committees of Jurisdiction, House Ways and Means, and Energy and Commerce tomorrow and then Thursday. And then likely would be both debated and not amended is what we're hearing, but we'll see, and then discussed in the House over, say, the next 2 weeks. Keep in mind, all of these timelines are subject to slippage, as has happened. Now, the big concern right now, of course, with what we've received is that, amongst other things, the Congressional Budget Office has not scored the provisions in the proposed legislation, which means without those, we have to say first and foremost, we can't move forward without having those numbers scored out. And they would also address some issues around projections and where we'd be on coverage. And that's the other big issue. So if it is pushed forward in the House, remember about 22 votes is the difference between where we would be and where they need to be in terms of both support or opposition. And I'll just say as it sits right now, I think it would probably surprise no one that we would be strongly opposed to what we are hearing. So the Republicans in the House can't lose the 22 votes, and we'd be working on those. In the Senate as well, when it gets onto that side, it's about a narrower margin of 2 votes. And as the bill sets today, just to set the stage, it would not likely pass in the Senate. So timing is to get it through the House now over the next couple weeks, and then if you could predict, it would likely be on the Senate side the week of March 27th and possibly out that last week of April 3rd. Ideally for us, if we can get to the right messaging and slowdown, we would have it be that they are not able to pass this out prior to the Easter break, and then we could work on our congressional delegation here in South Dakota when they're back home as well as across the country. And keep in mind, we're still hearing that the Trump administration would bring additional proposed changes to what's out there in terms of this legislation. And the governors met, and Governor Dugard met about a week ago or so, and they had some points, and so those may be blended into this proposed legislation. So just some high points, and again, we will share more detailed combined information later today or tomorrow with all our members. But what the proposal is to have the Medicaid expansion, essentially froze, and then in terms of enrollment, and it would run out as it currently sits, effective January 1, 2020. And then, of course, what they have talked about is those who were in qualified and they were part of the coverage would then at some point cycle out or be removed off of the expansion. And over a five-year period, it's expected that all expansion coverage would be reduced back to regular FMAP, so not the expanded rate. The proposals around what's commonly known as per capita caps, and of course there's concerns there for a lot of reasons, but of course right now when you look at South Dakota, we don't fare well in the funding methodology that's been both historically used and what they're proposing here, which would be to use the medical CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which historically has been lower than what increased rate coverage over the years has been. We've got in the bill, we've got some provisions around, I'll call it bridge funding. Essentially what it is, there's a $100 billion innovation fund that's being proposed that would be out over 9 years. To be clear, we think that's targeted at the governors and especially others who would, go after those funds. And they're being proposed to be used for things called innovation, but around health savings accounts, which would likely double under this proposal, and high-risk pools and corridors, et cetera. Certainly things that are not tested and vetted out yet, so it gives concern as well. And in addition, the legislation proposes for non-expansion states, the 19 or so that didn't expand, creating a $2 billion fund over 5 years would equal 10, and they would use a formula that would make it eligible for states to be able to get at that funding under an American Community Surveys total formula using 138% of the federal poverty level to be able to qualify. Now, that gets into the weeds a little bit. We still need to do further analysis, but, we don't know how South Dakota would specifically fare under that, but that is in the proposal. And keep in mind, they're proposing as well to use tax credits. And right now they're talking the limits of $75,000 a year for individuals and $150,000 for family. And then they would have tax credits refundable, $2,000 to $4,000. And, of course, if that proposal would go forward, those limits both on the income and on the tax credit side would likely have to go up significantly. Because really what we're talking about here is that no matter what happens and what we find when the CBO numbers finally come out, is that what this is going to do is it's going to coverage is going to decrease and maybe very significantly. And so for this reason, we have to say today that we are strongly opposed not knowing where the CBO numbers will come from and then knowing that coverage reductions are not only likely, but would be very significant. So maybe what I'll do there is stop, and then again, we will be sharing additional detailed written in concert with our national partners, with the leading age in AHA, and then maybe we could just, if we have some questions, we can try to answer those after Deborah does a state update. So I'll turn it to Deborah.
Thank you so much, Scott, and welcome, everybody. I'm glad you could make the call. Again, I'm calling from the state capitol here in Pierre, and we are entering our last week. It's week 9 of the main run, which ends this Friday on March 10th. I'd like to say that we might adjourn early, but at this point in time, there seems to be much in flux and in play, so we're still scheduled to finish up on March 10th. With the budget being, of course, the primarily the biggest bill or bills of the week. As of today, there have been no vetoes by the governor, but if there are any vetoes, March 27th is veto day, and that's where the House and Senate must override the governor's veto to enact the legislation with a two-thirds vote in each House. This last week, though, was a very fluid process. The committees, the House, and the Senate are all in flux. This would include the Appropriations Committee as well. There is very little posting of meeting start and end times because they'll gavel in the morning, which may or may not be on time, but then they'll go into recess, and if you're not there when they go into recess, you may not know where they'll begin their meeting later in the day. And so it is a very fluid week in flux, and there's much going on. There's also conference committees, and for those of you who may not know how that works, if a bill is passed in the House with one version, and then it may be amended in the Senate, so it's a different version of the same bill, then that bill must go to a conference committee where either House needs to concur with those amendments, depending on which House didn't make the amendments to the bill. And so those also are announced live in the House and Senate. And so it's just a busy time, because you won't find those online either. So just a busy time, very fluid, much in play. Of the bills that, of the 388 bills that were dropped this year, I just wanted to give you an update on 32 of those are Hog House bills. I talked to you a couple of weeks about what that meant, but basically it is a bill that has been stripped of its language entirely and can be an entirely new bill, and then they'll amend the title. And so that's quite a few for this year. Of those 388 bills for the session, about 98 bills have been signed by the governor or are on his desk. Remember, a number of bills are killed every session, and so that gives you a kind of clue. It will probably be about somewhere a little less than two-thirds may be killed, and we'll know more closer to the end of this week about those that didn't make it through. As far as the bill that the Public Policy Council has acted upon this year, there have been a little more than 40, and of those bills, 21 of those are tabled, dead, or withdrawn, and that's a success on part of the health lobby group up here. 16 are delivered to or have been signed by the governor. One of those bills we were opposed to, and that would be the midwifery bill that passed last week. And then there are 6 in play. And I'll just say that we know of because you ever watched that movie, The Princess Bride, where the boy, remember the boy is determined to be only mostly dead by Miracle Max, the wizard, and Miracle Max says to the others, turns out your friend here is only mostly dead. See, mostly dead is still slightly alive. And so, with that segue, let me go to House Bill 1028. House Bill 1028 was supported by the Public Policy Council. It's a Good Samaritan bill for drug overdoses, and it gives the person who stays with the person who is near death one free pass. If they have been doing perhaps illegal drugs, whether it's prescription or non-prescription illegal drugs, it gives them one free pass. Kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card, if you will, in terms of helping save the life of the person that has been in need of help. We heard from some of the testimonies in committee, this is a very important part for healthcare providers, to have someone with that person who can tell them what they took, how much they took, and so on and so forth. So this bill was mostly dead last week, the week before, because there was a tie vote in committee, and one of the senators was out in D.C. and couldn't make the vote. So what would happen then this week, it may be a new term to some of you, it's called smoking a bill out of committee. And there is, we don't light any fires up here, by the way, and I'm not sure where that term is, but maybe I'll share you where that next week if you make the call. But smoking a bill out of committee is where the Senate requests, through a senator stepping up and requesting that bill to come out of committee to the floor. It must be supported by at least one-third of the Senate, and that happened yesterday. And so the bill, even though it had a send to the 41st day, it was dead. It wasn't totally dead. So it came down to the Senate, and then the Senate asked that committee to meet. They stepped out into the hallway, again, a very fluid process. So while the Senate was still in session, the committee stepped out into a hallway behind the Senate gallery and voted to pass that bill with a do-pass motion because the senator who had been out of state was back. So long story short is it will be voted on today. We expect it to pass, and we think 1082 is a good thing in terms of public policy and saving lives. So just again, that term is called smoking a bill out of committee. There are some exceptions to the rule, but you can talk to me later about that if you're into those kind of rules. Anyway, so moving on to SCR 15, that has been in the media a great deal. That had to do originally with it was a resolution against the refugee program managed by LSS, and they had a lengthy hearing last week on that. At the very end of that hearing, a motion to table that bill failed by one vote, and then the sponsor offered what we would call a hog house amendment, changing the entire language of the bill to be, well, pretty much just a nice thank you card to President Trump about keeping America's faith against radical Islamic terrorists. Today, however, about 30 minutes ago, that bill was tabled in the Senate, 2015, but the senator, Senator Tapio out of Watertown, he made a motion to reconsider. Again, whether a bill is dead or mostly dead just depends on the motions that are taking place and the rules that are in play here up in Pierre. I just want to talk a little bit about the budget revenue estimates. Remember, they're about $50 million less than was budgeted for FY17 and FY18. Our position hasn't changed with the governor's recommended budget increase of 1%, plus the year two of the target increases, which is that three-year plan proposed by the governor. But there is concern that those 1% increases may not occur. I know that we've had an advocacy alert out. If you have not gone to our website and clicked on that and sent notes to your legislators, please do that. A number of you have, so thank you very much in communicating to them. We're hearing from them, by the way. I just spoke with one of the health system advocacy folks at lunch today, and we are hearing from those appropriators about your messages to them and other legislators as well. So thank you so much for being involved with that. Very important for them to hear your voice. Last thing I want to talk about in terms of current issues is Senate Bill 147. This really is to establish a process for periodic review of provider rate reimbursements. It will be voted on the House today. This is the last stop before it goes to the governor. This is really just to make this process more transparent, inclusive for providers, and then require that rebasing, even without money being available, but rebase those rates with no less than every 5 years. And then future issues, let me talk about just the fact that the budget bill will be up this, both bills will be voted on this week, FY17 at FY18. We heard from the Department of Health this morning on their budgets, which was adopted through what they call a motion sheet when you're in appropriations. And so we're still keeping, we still hear that we'll be at zero with no cuts beyond not losing the 1%, but we always want to make sure there's tough decisions being made, and today was certainly some of those for the Board of Regents. A number of line items were cut there. So far, so good. Thank you for all your help, and thank you for calling in today, and I'll turn this call back to Scott.
Oh, thanks so much, Deborah. And even as we speak, things are shifting and changing. I just received some additional updates from the American Hospital Association related to the actual act is the American Healthcare Act, the proposed legislation on the ACA. So we'll end there and then see if there are some questions, operator. So let's open it up and see if there's questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0 followed by 1 now. Please hold for a moment as our system compiles your responses. And our first question comes from Jay. Please go ahead, Jay. Jay, your line is now live.
Regarding the conference committee, that was, you said, I believe Deb said that the sponsor of the bill is the sponsor of the bill consulted when it goes to the conference committee for reconciliation?
Hey, thank you, Jay, for your question. And yes, the sponsor of the bill, usually a member from each house, both Senate and the House of Representatives meet. They may appoint an additional one, but they are consulted with those. They may not, depending on how the vote is in committee, they may not get their way, but they should be a part of that discussion.
Okay. I probably didn't word that correctly, but I that's what I remember from what you talked about was the conference committee with, and I wondered about the sponsor. But thank you so much.
Thanks, Jay.
And as a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing 01 now. And it appears there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, operator, and thanks again, everyone. As a reminder, with the state session coming to an end, we will hold at least one more of these calls. We were doing this Tuesday call as a trial basis through the state session, but also with everything happening on the federal side, we may, in fact, keep them going. So watch your emails, and we will hold the call again next week at the same time. And until then, take care and stay tuned for more updates.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.